Yeah, I was right yesterday. I told you. She's in. Nancy Mace is in the governor's race. I knew that because they called me to schedule a special announcement on the show next Tuesday. So I like to see that. I like to see a candidate call me and say, hey, can I come on the show for an interview? You can ask me anything. And we want to schedule it on Tuesday of next week because a big announcement is going to be on Monday afternoon. They're going to come in here in the morning with Nancy Mace. So she's in the governor's race. And I say, good. She's going to spice it up. We need a flamethrower in that race. And she certainly is that. I think it'd be pretty easy. I think it'd be pretty boring otherwise. It'd be too easy for these people to slide by. So I'm glad she's in there. It's going to make it lively. It's going to make it fun. She will sling some mud. We're going to get to see who's who breaks under pressure, and all of that. And you know what I like to see? I have to say, credit-wise, if you've listened to this show, you have not heard the governor on this show. This goes all the way back to Bobby Mack. He won't come on. He wants nothing to do with us here in the upstate. That has been the attitude from the governor's mansion. And folks, you hear me trash the governor. It didn't have to be that way. We invited him on, and, you know, my boss, my program manager came with this idea that, hey, let's get him on. A number of years ago when Nikki Haley was going to become the ambassador for Donald Trump, and he was the heir apparent, he had almost no political record. And I was a little stressed because, I do a tough interview. You know that. That's why a lot of people don't show up here. And I'm nice, but I'm tough. I ask the questions you'd want me to ask. And I was a little stressed out on that one because I was afraid people were going to think I was giving him a softball interview because I didn't have anything on him. He had no political record. He'd taken a couple of positions on the gas tax, most of them ones we like, and that was it. So we called him up. We said, hey, come on the show. Sorry, we're busy. Well, maybe next week. Oh, we're busy this month. Okay. How about next month? Busy. Okay. At that point, I turned it over to my boss and I just thought, you know what? I'm going to let him handle it. I mean, surely you want to come on the voice of the Carolinas with the talk show host of the year for South Carolina. I mean, you want to talk to us, right? I mean, because at that point, my show had won show of the year and station of the year. We're the highest rated talk show station in the entire state. We have the largest audience in the whole state. I mean, surely you're not going to diss the entire Greenville market, dude. And we were at the point of, okay, it's February. Can you come on in May? That's where my boss was, negotiating with these people. I just stepped back. No, we're busy. And here's the thing. I'd never picked on the guy because I didn't have anything to use. There was no record. That is the arrogance of Columbia. I'd never said a negative word about him. Again, I didn't have anything to use. I mean, he had no record. And he has never once come on this show. And they care so little about you, that wing of Columbia, that folks, when we had the Table Rock fire, almost a week went by. People's homes are being, people are being evacuated. It's a national news story. Fox News covering it. Governor didn't show up. He didn't show up, so started lighting his rear end up. Like, you don't even care. I mean, like, this side of the state does exist, you know. And he finally showed up, grudgingly. That's Columbia. They don't care. So I'm really glad to see what a difference. We're going to actually have a governor, maybe. We have Alan Wilson, who constantly is texting me, hey, come on your show. And I have grilled him. I've thrown everything but the kitchen sink at him. Over the last year, he's asked to be on the show. Now, Nancy Mace is asking to be on the show, and they don't put any qualifiers on what I ask. It means they want a connection with you, and that's good. They're not afraid of the hard questions. And you see what a disaster McDisaster has been. He's the kind of governor who doesn't want questions, doesn't believe he should have to answer them, doesn't care about you. Can't even show up when a place burns down. Terrible governor. Oh, awful. What a waste. So let's see where we are. So far, I am working on getting Pam Evatt on the show. I haven't managed to do it yet. But I haven't gotten a no. So that's good. There's still an open line of communication there. I know she's been on some other shows on this station, but we ask the hard questions on this show. Everybody knows it's the state. So, you know, if she wants to come on, then I'm going to say the same great things about her, that she's at least willing to talk to you. Doesn't consider us the redheaded stepchildren up here. That'd be a nice break from Henry Mink disaster. It would be a nice change. So we'll see if she will come on the show to answer questions. And look, my door is still open to Henry. He wants to come on the show, give him a platform. He can have an hour if he wants it. Say whatever he wants. I'm going to ask the hard questions, though. And he's always felt he is not entitled to have to answer questions. It's been a disaster for the state. They got him. Breaking overnight. This creep, James Andrew McGann, 28, of Springdale, murderer of the two parents on that hiking trail in Arkansas, the Devil's Den State Park. Killed the parents in front of their two girls, 7 and 9. There's something to that. You know what he did for a living? Fifth grade teacher. Yeah, they actually arrested him while he was getting his back to school haircut. What a creep. But there's something very interesting about this case to me as a former crime reporter. The answer to the question, is murder obsolete? Look how quickly they got him. This is a guy who was obviously factoring in technology. This is a guy who's obviously studied the downfall of other murderers by technology. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. One of the most pioneering uses of tech was actually, to his credit, by Attorney General Alan Wilson in his office in this state, right here in South Carolina, in the Alex Murdaugh murder trial. What did him in was his Suburban, his OnStar data. They went in, they got it. Sorry, my phone goes off like everyone else's. They went in, they got it. Took a very long process of subpoenaing that and getting it. It wasn't easy. And they were able to track his vehicle's movement, speed, and location on the night of June 7th and destroy his alibi. Yes, he was at his mom's house, but not for 30 to 40 minutes, but just 20 minutes. They had to show he drove very high speed to get to and from the scene. Did him in, put him at the scene, all of it done with the car. Look at Brian Koberger. Clearly studied that. Koberger's white Hyundai Elantra. Did him in, captured on surveillance video. That's important. They didn't get the license plate. That's what's so crazy, and they still got him. Caught him on surveillance video circling the area near the victim's house in the early morning hours of the murders. Footage showed the vehicle approaching the house multiple times before speeding away minutes later. Again, they didn't even have the plate and they got it. They put out an APB for it. That crossed state lines because it was within, you know, the area. And that was their first hit. He had, it turned out, obviously registered it because he had to park on campus because he was an assistant professor. Cell phone records and surveillance footage would later place Koberger and his vehicles in the vicinity of the crime. So you go commit a murder, you got to leave your cell phone at home. You're going to stalk the victims, you got to leave your cell phone at home. They have him stalking them for months. So obviously this guy has watched this. Look what he did. He goes to a park where there are no cameras. And this is something my husband's been trying to, you know, beg me and my daughter to stop hiking. Because he thinks these people are going to realize that you can't, murder's obsolete. You can't do it anymore. Not in a city. Too many cameras, too many Ring cameras. And they're going to move into the parks. And the backcountry and rural areas are going to become very dangerous for hunters like this. And sure enough, here's Arkansas, FBI, former FBI agent Nicole Parker on the Arkansas killing and why he chose the place he did.
I hate to say it, but you are not safe anywhere. And I don't believe in living in fear, but I believe that we always have to have our head on a swivel. This was a part of the park, that there was really no cell phone reception. This was a beautiful place. And so that would be a prime target for them. They can't even call 911 if they wanted to. But again, this individual was allegedly new to the area. Let's see what comes of this investigation. But again, my heart goes out to this family. My condolences. These children's lives.
So this is a guy who obviously studied the Koberger case. Probably studied the Murdaugh case. He goes, okay, and he covers his license plate. She can't see the plate. Goes to a remote area, no cell phone. That solves another problem. Now let's see how they got him. And this case was critical to me to answer this simple question, is murder obsolete? They brag in China, by the way, that it is. You could look that up. It's fascinating. They have over 1 billion government cameras in that country. That doesn't even count the private cameras. That's just the network of government cameras. They say you can't do crime anymore. It's impossible. I believe that. And so we live in this surveillance society, and that is really bad. I mean, it's probably 75% bad because our limits our freedoms, and it can very easily. But there is an upside. There's a silver lining, and it's this. And so I asked the question over the last couple of days, you know what they asked people to do? Let's see how they got him, by the way. They asked people to do it. They were going to track him mile by mile. They said, people, if you got a Ring camera, he probably passed by that route. Look on your Ring camera. See what you got? They put out the description of the car. It was a Mazda. How do you catch him then? You follow him. The first time I ever read this was an article in the LA Times. It was amazing. A convenience store clerk had been killed. And they didn't. This was over 10 years ago. They didn't even have the high tech they do now. They followed him along his route, pulling camera video after camera video. Okay, he turned right here. We're going to go down this street, pull the cameras at these convenience stores. Okay, then we see him turning left. We're going to pull these cameras. And they went and went and went, tracked him all the way across town and got him. You can't hide anymore, not from the cameras. That's a double-edged sword. But I wanted to know, could this guy hide? How fast would they get him given his level of anonymity? If you were to leave your phone at home, as Koberger should have done, you'd have to almost at this point leave your phone at home, steal a car, or buy one, an older one. Murdaugh made that mistake. 15, 20 years old, you have to pay cash, stash it somewhere, steal a license plate, or steal the car. I mean, it's starting to get very hard to random stranger kill. That is fascinating to me. So I wrote a lot about murder. Most fascinating article I ever did. I pulled 10 years worth of murder cases. I pulled every single murder case in Mecklenburg County, Charlotte for 10 years. And I wanted to know, how do people get away with murder? 50%. Right around across the top, 50%. No one had ever been charged in those cases. So I went and interviewed homicide detectives. And I asked them, and they said, well, in most of these cases where they got away with it, we have an idea who did it. And most of the cases where they got away with it, they were drug crimes. It is one drug dealer killing another drug dealer, robbing another drug dealer, back, forth, back, forth, back, forth. And he said, quite frankly, we don't spend a lot of time on those cases. The scenes are a nightmare because a lot of times it's drug dens, drug houses, drug cars. There's so much DNA in there. It's so gross. A lot of the time with that lifestyle that comes with that, he said, we can barely decode the crime scene. It's such a mess. I mean, there's blood, there's DNA, there's other DNA. So we don't spend a lot of time on it anyway. Because whoever killed him is going to get killed next anyway. We got better things to do. We'll give it a cursory. But he said, nobody talks to us. No one cooperates. No one wants to help. We're just done. But he said, if you kill a husband, a wife, a boyfriend, a child, a family member, a friend, we're going to get you. And that's who's in the solved file. And I said, well, what about stranger killings? And he said, we get that most of the time too. It just takes us a long time. But he said the best way to get away with the stranger killings, is right in my article, is to kill someone you've never met before, you haven't stalked, and you don't know. That's what this guy did. If there's no connection between you and them, he said, we have a very hard time with it. Well, folks, that was over 10 years ago. Now, I don't know if you can stranger kill anymore. Not after the last year. This guy just tried it. He didn't last a week. They got him from nothing. And when you think about it, they got Koberger too without a license plate. Think how common a white Hyundai Elantra is. And in fact, the coverage at the time said when they were looking for it, but it's a very common car. Got him anyway. There's nowhere to hide, folks. And I would argue this kind of murder is obsolete. That's good news. These killers who are going to move into the countryside needed to see this to keep people who live in the countryside, rural areas, but also who hike and who are out there doing fun nature things safe. Going to get you anyway, even if there's no cell phone reception. Good luck.